Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, December the 10th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and today's readers are the 12 Steps, Shay D., the 12 Traditions, Mary P., and the readers of the text are Barbara A., Tonya P., and Sherry M. And today we will be reading, we'll be in the big book again. We're on page 63 in the chapter, How It Works. Fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page. Next, we launched out on a course through one paragraph ending with, get down to causes and conditions. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday, Monday, December the 9th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,979. That's 21979. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, December the 10th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,980. That's 21980. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Shelley E. Thank you all for your service. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Shay D. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. Shay D. in California. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shay D. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 Traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 63, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom. Next, we launched out on a course, and ending at the top of the next page, get down to causes and conditions. And the comments are on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Barbara A. to get us started. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. My name is Barbara A. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Watsonville, California. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Well, I believed I had the things in myself which had been blocking me. You know, but I thought it was just that I was overeating. I didn't really get clear that there were causes and conditions. Yes, I was brought up as a young girl in a very religious background, and I went to church and I went to parochial school, and my belief in God was kind of very too. I thought he was punishing and unkind. But I think what this paragraph, when I read about personal house cleaning, that was a good analogy for me. Because we have to house clean all the time. And it's not something I really enjoy. I do enjoy the effect, though. My overeating was but a symptom. And what this AA Big Book has outlined for me, has defined for me through so many examples, was what those causes were. I didn't attempt a vigorous effort. I didn't attempt a vigorous effort of house cleaning for many, many years. I had come up to the point of this paragraph, actually, this point in the book, and that was about it. I didn't go further for many, many years. Personal house cleaning. Never really attempted it. Never wanted to uncover, discover, discard. But today, by the grace of God and this program, I've been able to really find the things that was blocking me by doing this action. This, as I heard earlier, it said the first step of which was a personal house cleaning. My first action step was to identify the causes and conditions that made me always go to the food. I'm so grateful to be able to share on this meeting today, to be able to listen and learn from all of you. So let's get down to those causes and conditions. We're going to read on this page later this week. The first time this word is mentioned, and it's a big one, and it'll help really outline the causes and conditions. So with that, I pass. Thank you, Mo.
Hey, thank you very much, Barbara A., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph on page 63, fourth paragraph down? Next, we launched out, and it ends with, and we had to get down to the causes and conditions. Who would like to share?
Sherry M.
Danielle W.
Ian F.
I got Sherry M. Who was Danielle after Sherry
W.
M?
Danielle W.
Danielle W. And then I heard Ian.
Julie
Laura
P.
W.
Laura W. Was that Laura W? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Who else was in there?
Julie P.
Julie P. Anyone else? So I have Gary M., Danielle W., Ian, I didn't get your last initial, but I'll get it when you're on, Laura W., and Julie P. Anyone else this round? We'll go with that. Everyone else, please mute, silence your phone, except Sherry M. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning again, Mo. Hi, Sherry M., gratefully recovered here in Wyoming. Thanks so much for the opening share and for everyone's service on Tuesday. I really love this paragraph, and so I really wanted to share the whole thing. It's highlighted, of course. And, you know, it's talking about our decision. It says our decision was a vital and crucial step. And what are they talking about? What decision are they referencing? Well, they're definitely referencing the decision I just made when I got on my knees personally and I put my hands in the air. And I said, God, I give all of you to me, all of it, from head to toe, every idea, just everything. You're my employer. You're my new, you're my new father. I'm going to do what you say. I'm your child, and I'm going to get in the passenger seat and let you drive the car. But that's not going to do anything just by saying that unless I actually look at what is blocking me. You know, in order to do God's will, I have to get rid of self. And it's talking about getting, you know, taking away my difficulties. And my difficulties are my instincts gone awry. They are not my life problems. They are the way in which I interpret life. And so the strenuous effort, it's going to be, this is a promise that it's going to have a permanent effect. Like it will have a permanent effect, this living in step three. The food is but a symptom. The food is not the problem. It's actually a symptom of my disease. You know, you can put any, for me, I can put any substance in there because I have in multiple programs, but that's just a symptom. It's a symptom of what happens when I'm blocked off from the sunlight of the spirit, which is God. So then I get down to like, what is causing me? How am I looking at the world? And I don't want to jump ahead, but you know, for me, it's really four things. It's I'm looking at selfishness. I'm going to be looking at dishonesty, self-seeking, and I'm going to be looking at my fears. And these are the things just under those four categories that drive the whole entire thing. And once I really find out that my problem in life is really my want, it's these things, I can just watch my thoughts during the day. Like I want somebody or something or some situation to be different than it is. Those are my wants, and that's my selfishness. This is what's blocking me from actually accepting life on life's terms and by accepting what God's will is for me, you know. And so all day long, it's not a one and done. We launch out. This is a strenuous effort. And I'll tell you the steps, and I'll wrap up with this. There is no step three. It doesn't exist without step four. There is no step 10 without a step 11. There is no step 11 without step 12. Every single step cements the one prior, and they're all needed, 1 to 12, all day long, every day. Every moment of my day is devoted to this other way of life, which is looking at my causes and conditions. And I love that word conditions because, boy, do I have a lot of conditions about life, right? Like if life will only be this way, it'll be wonderful. And then I'll be okay.
Fine.
And then. And that's a good place to wrap. Thanks, Pat.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Up next is Danielle W., followed by Ian. I think it's Ian F. I think I remembered. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Danielle W., compulsive overeater. Happy to be here today. You know, the first time that I ever went through, I'm in a few programs, but the first time I ever went through the steps with my OA sponsor, for some reason, I really thought it was like one and done, right? I would see my character defects. I would do step four. I would do my house cleaning. And I would understand, you know, what compelled me to reach for the food. And I did. A lot was revealed in that work, you know, and I was able to get sober. But this is a lifetime program for me. And it's been really interesting that my higher power, when I'm ready, allows me to go even deeper in my recovery. And my relationship to food and my reasons for being an addict, run very deep, you know, and I understand now that, you know, I had to heal trauma and I had to, you know, stop using food and weight to protect myself. And, you know, and what's happened for me is where before, if my food got a little messy or my thinking around food got a little messy, I would feel really defeated. And now I actually look at those opportunities as a gift. Because it means there's something I need to look at. There's work to be done. And now I have the tools to do it. I'm not just reaching for food unconsciously. I have a way to work with my sponsor or my higher power or a fellow and do some more house cleaning and have a better understanding and ask for relief. And that's a gift. I never would have thought when I first came in here that I would be grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater, but it is the pathway to a relationship with a higher power that I would never have otherwise. And it keeps me close to my higher power for that very reason. If I don't do this, it's a one day at a time thing. If I don't keep doing the work, I lose the gifts that this program has offered. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. Up next is Ian F., followed by Laura W. Good morning, Ian.
Thank you. This is Ian F., compulsive overeater in Indiana. I've had a struggle of a semester. I'm a college student, and I ended up failing one of my classes, and I'm just looking back on it, I was bitching and moaning to my mom about how, you know, how terrible the semester was and how hard it was for me to concentrate. And in the middle of it, I realized that it was actually entirely my responsibility. And what I find really interesting about this paragraph is when it talks about the decision isn't enough, you know, to know that I need to do the work and to know what the next right thing is, isn't enough. I have to take the action. And I've been doing a lot of reflecting, and I'm like, okay, what did I need to do better here? And a lot of it is that I waste just tragic amounts of time trying to get into the right headspace to do the next right thing. You know, and in my program, my step work, I have never felt ready to do a step four. I felt like I needed to do a step four. I felt desperate enough that I needed it, but I never felt ready when I started. And when it says that this action is vital, right? I cannot waste time trying to get into the right headspace so that I can do the next step work. You know, once I've read the literature, once I've talked with my sponsor about this is what I need to do next, the next thing is just doing it. And I will only find that I am willing to do it and able to do it when I start doing it. Everything else is just kind of theoretical and entropic and weird. You know, so this reminder that I need to take the next action and not think about it is really helpful for me. That's all I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Ian F. from Indiana. Up next is Laura W., followed by Julie P. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm from South Jersey. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Yeah, you know, some of the words that they use in this paragraph really signify urgency. You know, next means right away. Vigorous. It talks vital, crucial, strenuous, launched. I mean, all of these things to me mean like I better get a move on. Like I better do this now or else. And there's, you know, there's promises and then there's warnings. So, you know, it tells us that our decision, the third step decision, which is where I offer myself to God, my higher power. Yes, it was vital, which is life-saving and crucial, but it's going to have little permanent effect. It's not going to matter, and it's not going to help me unless at once it's followed by strenuous effort. So I can make a decision. I know it was just shared, like a decision without action is pointless. I can make a decision to run a marathon. If I don't train, if I don't put in the work, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to make it past the mile three, you know? And, but then again, action without, you know, without a decision and prayer is self-will. And that's what it talks about here. It talks about self-will. We have to get down to these causes and conditions, and the liquor, food, restricting, starvation is just a symptom. A symptom of what? Self, selfishness, self-centeredness, and all of the things that were blocking me. And that's what we're going to get into in that fourth step. All the resentments, all the fears, you know, all of the dishonesty, all that stuff that caused me to act out in my disease is what I needed to face. I had to stop pointing the finger at other people. I had to stop pointing the finger at circumstances and start realizing that the problem is me, you know? And over time and through this work and through the action steps, 4 through 9, I'm able to get down to that. I'm able to get down to the nitty gritty, and I made a decision in step 3 to cooperate and to trust the process. And every time I do that and I surrender, things work out. You know, it's the most important decision, but it's the most important decision followed by action. So, you know, there are 67 musts in the first 164 pages of the big book. And I think that, you know, Bill and Bob didn't want to tell us what to do, but they do say must, like we must launch, you know, we have to launch out on a course of vigorous action here. We can't stop and do the 1, 2, 3 waltz because we will never get well if we just stop there. So I'm just grateful for the reminder that action is my friend today. Action keeps me recovered, and action helps me, you know, clear away the wreckage of my past. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Before I take Julie P., let me remind everybody where we are in the big book. We're on page 63, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page. Next, we launched out on a course, and it ends on the top of 64. So we had to get down to causes and conditions. So after Julie, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a compulsive overeater. Imagine that. I woke up as one again this morning in Minnesota. Thank you, everybody, for your service today for this meeting. I am very grateful to be in a meeting. And I am just sitting here looking at effort to face. I had to be willing to face me. That was a pretty tall order when I first came into this program. Everybody else was the problem. It wasn't me. And I remember the words of, what length are we willing to go to? Well, I guess if I'm not willing to face me, nothing's going to change. Everybody else will continue to be the problem. And I am so grateful that I have been willing to do this step. And I am grateful now that I get to do it over and over whenever the need arises, because I have learned through a couple very mini vacations into relapse that it's the causes and conditions that will continue to make me go there. And I am so grateful that there is a tool that allows me, and the willingness that I am receiving from my higher power, to continue to look at those causes and conditions. And wouldn't you know it, I'm the problem every time. And I'm so grateful for this step, because if I'm not, nothing changes if nothing changes, and I'm the one that needs to change. And thank you all for your shares, and have a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Julie P. from Minnesota. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 63, the fourth paragraph down, next we launched, and it ends with causes and conditions. Who would like to share?
Shirley R.
Shirley R. Got any other takers?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Sarah P.
Sarah P.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Len D.
Who was that?
Len D.
Lynn. Gotcha, Lynn. And was that D as in Dennis?
Correct. Yes. Thank you, Mo.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. I'll tell you who I have. Shirley R., Janice K., Sarah P., Roz G., and Lynn D. Everyone else mute except Shirley R. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I just feel like this program has saved me and help me see where I need to improve. And for a long time in my life, I felt like I had really messed up when I had been in and out of five mental institutions. And so, as I recovered from all of that, I still had moments when I thought it was best just to isolate myself and be in my own home and not interact with anybody. And I've been in and out of this program, and this time I have for the first time, really talk to my sponsor about my mental institution phase and my bipolar situation. And I feel like I can really go forward under continuous personal evaluation and looking at the causes and effects of what might be affecting my psyche at this point. But I'm happy to say that, thank God for this program, I've moved out into the world and found love and acceptance and a joy in helping other people. So thank you, Mo, for your service, and pass.
Well, thank you, Shirley R. from California. Up next is Janice K., followed by Sarah P. Good morning, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. I think that step four initiates the series of actions that lead to recovery. It's possible to dance through steps 1, 2, and 3 and find relief, because 1, 2, and 3 can relieve much of the distress and the misery of living in the disease. But we hit the road to recovery until we become willing to take action. And I really appreciate the comments earlier, because yes, this is the point where I become willing to commit to changing who I am. When I am willing to face up to the fear of, oh, I don't want to see this, I don't want to look, don't even show me this. And it takes some courage to walk through that, or at least the willingness to live with that. The other big stumbling block to step four seems to be, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do this. It's all their fault. And that's such a comfort. But when I get real and I realize that this disease is making me miserable, and maybe I have a part to play, this begins a whole new attitude toward life, in which I begin to confront the reality of, maybe I am just a tiny bit selfish. And I found out since that it's a lot worse than that. But that's me. You don't have to do this step alone. There is a power greater than yourself that can help you through it. And I think that's how the whole thing works. So, yes, I am a self-limiting proposition. And I can't get out of that limitation by myself without the help of others. Sponsors, higher power, steps. It takes everything I've got thrown at it all day long to get out of that spot. So if you're willing to begin to look at reality differently, if you're willing to live differently in order to leave the sorrow and the misery behind, well, welcome to step four. This is where it begins. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. Up next is Sarah P., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and for everybody that shared. So I don't necessarily want to share this morning. However, the first line of this paragraph is exactly why I need to, because it is the entire idea of saying we're going to do things and not doing it, and that we have to take action. Like everybody's been saying, the idea of you can have the decision to do it, but you have to actually do it. And that's me with really stepping into program right now. I've had the idea to. I know that I need to, and I have had this idea that I have been. But if I take a look at my past actions in the same way we do in step four, but in a smaller scale, I haven't necessarily been doing that. And what we learn backs those problems that we're recovering in step four are our character defects. And looking into my background these past few weeks, they've been like raging. Like I've been self-centered. I've been, nope, that's kind of it. That's kind of backed absolutely everything. And it's taken me out of the world, and it's taken me, well, obviously, into self, into appearance, into all the things that my disease feeds off of. So this paragraph was a beautiful reminder to really step into that action, even if I don't feel like it, even if I think that I already am going hard, to go harder, to overload my spiritual health, and to take time to reflect on my past and to let go of it and to get a clear sense and just house clean and to move forward. So thank you for that reminder today, everybody, and for all the shares and the service. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sarah P. from California. Up next is Roz G., followed by Lynn D., and then I'll be able to take another lineup of people. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. What I'm really focusing on this morning, there's a couple things here. This is vital and crucial. Vital signs are a sign of life. And when I go to the emergency room, which I don't do very often, but I was a paramedic once in my life, and the first thing we do is we take vital signs to see if the patient is alive or, you know, close to a death. And vital means it's a matter of life or death. And crucial, extremely important. So if I don't take step four, it's a matter of life and death. And when my very first OA sponsor asked me, is this a matter of life and death to you? I couldn't see it. It was, you know, 20 years ago. I couldn't really see it. I had to hurt some more and put myself in life, you know, dangerous life situations concerning overexercising, overeating, eating too late at night and choking on my food in the middle of the night to see that this was vital for me. It is a matter of life and death. But I had to get rid of the things that were blocking me. Block. What are the blocks? We're going to see that in the next few days. Resentments, fears, and sex conduct or other conducts, how I treat people. What am I doing? What am I angry at? What am I fearful of? And it just so happens that I am on step four, and I'm on step four in another program, but I'm still Roz, and I'm still a compulsive overeater. And there are some things that are still blocking me, and I will not get some of the things that I desire until these things are rid. I'm rid of them. Envy and resentments at a few people that are plaguing me. It is a block. So the causes and the conditions are, you know, things that happen between both of us. But this is my inventory, my recovery, not theirs. And so it's my responsibility to be rid of them, to be rid of my resentments towards them, to be rid of my envy and jealousy about some things in my life, and to get rid of fear of some things that just, when I look at the spiral down of what I'm really afraid of, I'm really afraid of dying. I'm really afraid of being overweight, overeating, and dying. Those are the things I'm really afraid of, but they are masked by superficial things. So I'm going to go ahead and pass, and thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. And before I take Lynn D., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 63, the fourth paragraph down. Next, we launched out. And it ends on the top of page 64 with getting down to causes and conditions. And after Lynn, I can take maybe two or three more names. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Mo. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California, and I am a compulsive overeater. I think I didn't understand causes and conditions for a while until it was explained to me like this. Somebody explained it to me. It was the causes and conditions were kind of those like unthinkable, unbearable, like gnawing at feelings that we had. And again, mixed with kind of those like lies that I told myself for so long that made it okay for me to eat. And so what happens for me is I need to change my tape. You know, I need to do my fourth step. I need to get it all out. All the resentment, all the fear, all the sexual ideas. And then I really need to change my tape. And, you know, that's the only way for me I'm going to change my attitude and my thinking, right? Like, you know, I can tell myself, you know, oh, I have really bad genetics. I'm always going to be fat. Or my parents, you know, never said I love you or hugged me. So I'm never going to get those sexual ideals right. You know, all the things, all those little lies I told myself, that tape, that running of the tape over and over and over again. And it wasn't until I did a four step and actually changed that. And so, you know, now I say, you know, my parents did the best they could with what they had. And I love them and I have to let everything else go. And, you know, for like the genetic stuff or whatever, you know, I have like 8 aunts that are like morbidly obese, like make your own underwear obese, okay? And so, you know, I tell myself over like, oh, I'm just never going to be skinny enough, or I'm never going to be thin, or I'm just always going to be fat or overweight or obese. And it's just, there's nothing I can do about it. And I really, really had to change that tape. And I thought, you know what? God loves me, and he's going to show me exactly what I need with the help of program. And some doctors or outside help or whoever, you know, like I'm not running the show, to let me know where I need to be a healthy, functioning member of society, right? So, yeah, causes and conditions, I kind of didn't understand until it was put in those terms, but I can get it under those, like, you know, the things we tell ourselves to make it okay to eat. Oh, yeah, I can list those. And, you know, sometimes it's not even like a taste. Sometimes it's just like I have a case of the freaking effets. Like, I just want to eat, and I don't know why. I'm feeling overwhelmed or whatever, or lonely, angry, tired, all of the things, right? So, yeah, I just really need to make sure that I am connected with a higher power that works for me and that I can talk to and that I trust and believe. Thank you, Mo.
Well, thank you very much, Lynn D. from San Diego, California. Who would like to share? I can take 2 more people.
Mo K., California.
Oh, another Mo. Mo K., California.
Sarah N., California.
Sarah N. Okay, that's okay. Our California. All right, everyone else mute except Mo K. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Mo. I'm excited. I've always been waiting to say that for months now as a longtime listener, but hi, California, compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be recovering one day at a time. And I'm nervous, and it's funny. I always want to feel peaceful and serene, and it all makes sense. And today is not one of those days, and that's the day I know I need to. And what I like about this passage, first off, is vigorous action stands out to me. I know in this program, the more days I string together, the more I've seen how important action is. And for me, when life starts getting lifey, which is often when it starts getting louder, when things start feeling out of control, crazy, that's when I need to make sure, where am I at with my step work? Oh, yeah, I'm stalled. I need to get back into action. I need to take action. And I also like how it says personal housekeeping. Look how nice that sounds. It's just a little personal housekeeping. It's not beating myself up, which is what I and my defects tend to do. I want to show all the things I'm doing wrong, how bad I am. That's not what personal house cleaning is. So I just like how the answers are in the, working the steps, and that I get to see what's been blocking, right? And I have to take action, and if I don't take action, I will stay where I'm at, and I know where that will lead me to. And I've been there and done that, and I'm just so grateful for today that I have a program to work very imperfectly, one day at a time, but I'm just in such gratitude for everyone who has shared their experience, strength, and hope. And for today, I choose action. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mo K. from California. And up next is Sarah N. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellows. My name is Sarah, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater currently in the state of Washington on the phone list in California. So I just wanted to start. I love this meeting and how we just take this one paragraph at a time and really break it down. Number one, I'm a terrible cook. And one reason I'm a terrible cook is because I often skim over the instructions, the directions, and don't necessarily follow them. So I just wanted to start my share with a brief example of the other day. I was actually attempting to cook and follow directions, and it was something I'd made many, many times over and over. So I felt like I knew exactly, you know, like I know this, I've done it 100 times, so I can do this. And so I put, you know, so I'm glancing at the recipe, and I'm putting all these ingredients together, and I put these other ingredients together. And all of a sudden I get in and I'm mixing together, and it doesn't look right. I'm like, something is missing. And I realized I missed the eggs, which was a binding ingredient. And I just had to laugh at myself. Okay, like I missed something there. Oops, even though I thought I knew what I was doing. This book, when you want to make something, you get a cookbook, you know, you want to learn something, how to, you go get that book. For me, this book is the directions on how to recover from addiction. For me specifically, compulsive overeating and a couple other things. But this paragraph is one of my favorite in the whole book because it's a power-packed paragraph. And how I like to read, I really like to gnaw on each word and really break it down and look at that. And so, and I'm going off things that have been shared with me in the past. So if we just take this one paragraph, the first word is next, and it's like next. It's, you know, I have to remember, what am I doing? I'm making something. I have a destination. And it says, next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action. So I came in because I wanted to recover from compulsive eating. I'm following the directions outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's giving me very specific directions. And just like for getting those eggs, this is just taking us, we've just gone from the first three steps, which we've like built our rocket ship. And next, we're going to launch it out onto a course. Where are we going? Like the moon? We're going to get to step 12. Vigorous action. The first step is the personal house cleaning, which many have never attempted. And then talks about, you know, making that decision. I love the highlights earlier shared, vital and crucial step. And it can have little permanent effect unless at once followed by strenuous effort. And I think this is what throws us off. But it just reminds me, many of us, it's like, I don't want to do anything strenuous, and that's my time. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I'd say just chew on each word in this paragraph and have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much, Sarah, and for closing us out. Thank you all for your shares. I gained a lot from it. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge that road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.